The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. The Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour brings to you the very latest nutrition information, and the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers bring you EDLP. More about EDLP during the show. Here are your hosts, Al Foreman and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist.
Good morning, everybody. This is Al Foreman for the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I am sitting here in Janet's office, and I am accompanied by a very, very special guest who we're going to be speaking to very, very shortly. I would like to let our listeners know that if you have any questions for our special guest, you can please call the radio station, who will then pass us through to your call. The number to call is 1-888-565-1470. That's 1-888-565-1470. I am joined here this morning by an expert in pet care. And the purpose of this show ties in with what we do here at Save-A-Lot, which is bring to the listen to the listener's attention the many benefits of proper health and care. And our expert in pet care is Mr. Steve Ginsberg. So, Steve, good morning to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour.
Good morning, Al. I want to thank you, and I also want to congratulate you on your new store.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure sitting here opposite you. It's been a while.
Yes, it has.
And I'm enjoying this considerably.
I'm glad to have you.
Thank you.
I think, and I have to say that I have not had the ability to have a pet in several years because I live in a condo. And the condo rules do not permit me to have a pet. However, I did own for probably more than 20 years a trio of Westies, and I enjoyed them immensely. Very, very friendly, cooperative dogs that were very smart.
And very high energy.
No question about that. That's for sure. Now, you used to do a radio show on 850 for many years.
Yes.
And give our listeners a little background, because I think it's important for them to understand why we're bringing the show to their attention, especially all the pet lovers and pet owners that we have here shopping at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center.
Well, one key thing, Al, that and the reason I got into the industry of training and also educating the customer, the pet owner, is for them to understand why they have issues with their dogs, whether it's misbehaving, whether a dog is becoming ill over some issues that they're not sure about. The most important thing that the pet owner has to really understand is always educating themselves. I work very close with a shelter in Boca Raton, Tri-County Animal Shelter. It's a non-kill shelter. And when I was involved...
Non-kill. Can you let our listeners know what that means?
I'll be glad to, because it's very important. Truthfully, honestly, this is a non-kill shelter. This means that if a dog is brought there, in other words, surrendered by an owner, or if there are puppy mills that are closed down by PETA, P-E-T-A, for example, just recently, within 2 weeks, 42 dogs were brought in from Georgia from a puppy mill. Some of these dogs will be rescued within 2 or 3 weeks, some within a month. But there are some dogs that will stay there for, let's use the word, endlessly until the right person comes to rescue. And I use that word very strongly. Rescuing this dog, adopting this dog, saving this dog, giving this dog a life. In fact, I was just hired by a client that recently adopted a dog there, and it was there for almost 9 months.
Wow, that's a long time.
It was there since it was a pup. And one of the main reasons it was there that long is because this was a dog that is now probably close to 70 pounds.
Big dog.
Big dog. And the breed, it's a mix between a pit bull and an American bulldog. Dog is beautiful, but we have the majority of clients that rather have a dog they can pick up and walk around the house with. Now, I'm not saying a Westie, because Westies, honestly, they're a terriers, and Westies love to just run around and drive you crazy. That's right. Typical Westie. I'm talking about Maltese, toy poodles.
Very small dogs.
Toy boys, okay? The dogs, and I think a lot of your listeners out there will understand when I say this, the true dog that will be put in a baby carriage and pushed around Boca Town Center or pushed around any store that they're allowed to bring the dog to, that, unfortunately, is the type of dog that people are adopting very quickly. Okay, so we have the larger dogs, let's say 40 plus, that will stay at this shelter at Tri-County Animal Shelter on Boca Rio Road, which is right off of Glades Road, and that dog is just waiting for love. That's all.
And the kennel or the facility is feeding them, caring for them, and making sure they're staying healthy.
24/7, it's constant. There are vet techs that are there at the facility on a constant basis.
All right, so when you say it's a non-kill facility, that means no dog is euthanized.
That's exactly right.
So I think it's important for people to understand that if they have a pet now that they are not happy with, what does someone turn to or who does someone turn to be able to take the dog, bring it to this facility, and have a clear mind knowing the dog will be well taken care of.
Al, I'm glad you asked it in that manner by saying they're unhappy with. If a dog owner is unhappy with a dog, they should find out why they're unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
What is the dog doing? And I think one of the key problems we have, this is worldwide, is the dog doesn't understand what the owner wants.
Dog can't speak.
Right. So, again, we go back to education. The dog has to understand from the owner, what do you want of me? My life is yours. I'm here. You're taking care of me. I can't speak. You have to understand what my needs are. Feeding me at the right time. Give me nutritious food. Not food that's just going to fill my belly.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are going to say, well, I give my dog a good food. The poop is hard. Excuse me for talking about poop. But the poop is hard. That's not always the answer. The answer is good nutritional food, going to the right store, speaking to the right people on the floor that understand what you have. Mm-hmm. Mention the breed that you have. Talk about what you're going through. People that are unhappy with their dog don't take that step. They're impatient. They think a dog is supposed to do what they want the dog to do. Wrong. They have to know what the dog's needs are. Going out at the right time. Taking a walk. Being fed at the right time. Being told what to do. So what is the answer? The answer is, if you really don't have that experience with dogs on a constant basis all your life, then you hire a trainer like me. Mm-hmm. There are many trainers in the area. There are many stores you can go to and pick up a business card. So there are facilities that you can contact, depending upon where you live within the South Florida region. So there are always answers, because what you don't know, it's all, I hate to use this word, but it's true ignorance. If you're ignorant of the fact and not knowing what to do, take that extra step and find out what to do.
Well, most people, from what I know, will go into I guess you'd call them a puppy store or a pet store, looking for a breed of animal, depending upon their likely of what they're wanting to choose, and buy the puppy when it's only, I don't know, a couple of weeks old, a month old, 2 months old. How young do they have to be, or how old do they have to be before someone could buy them from a pet store?
Usually a pet store is going to market their dogs at between 8 and 10 weeks.
All right, so you're talking about a little over 2 months old.
Yeah.
And the people are then able to buy it. But then it becomes incumbent upon them, as you pointed out just now, to be able to adhere to certain things to help the dog get acclimated to the owner, or the owner acclimates to the dog, or the combination of both.
It's very unfortunate that what you brought up in profiling, quote-unquote, a puppy store, the majority of these stores that sell puppies are concerned with selling the dog, selling a bag of food, and maybe profiling a little bit about how to take care of the dog. There are very, very few that will actually sit down and go through a proper procedure. These stores are almost like an adoption agency, because this puppy that leaves the store is their child, and they want to make sure that their child, their puppy, even though they sold it, their puppy is getting the proper home. Now, that's a key for the better stores. So you have certain stores that will only buy, and I leave that a little space in my conversation, they will only buy their puppies directly from a breeder. So everyone has to do their true diligence in going to the right puppy store to understand exactly how good a quality, and that's really, I hate saying this because we're dealing with a live animal, and a dog is an animal, and that's what people have to understand, it's an animal. The puppy has to have that full information background, and the better store is going to give that to you. More than likely, you're going to get a bloodline, you're going to get the AKC registration, or you might get other affiliated registrations from other kennel clubs throughout the United States. There are some, in fact, I know of two, and one primarily, that goes to extra lengths to really make sure that his child, or puppy, if you will, goes to a great home. And these dogs are really taken care of properly, and they come from good breeding.
Okay, I hear some music, which means it's time for us to take a quick intermission. But we're speaking with Mr. Steve Ginsberg, who is the expert when it comes to taking care of pets properly and training pets properly. And I encourage those people that are listening to the show now, if you have any questions having to do with your pet or how to take care of a pet or how to train a pet, now's the time to find out, because Steve will be more than happy to answer your questions. The number you want to call is 1-888-565-1470. That's 1-888-565-1470. And we'll be right back in a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.
The knowledgeable team at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center is partnering with Janet Cimarelli to give you the information and knowledge you need to better manage your health. Janet is a leading licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet's counseling services are now available 6 days a week at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, 3105 North State Road 7 in Margate. At the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, Janet can work with you to change your diet and change your life. Janet has over 25 years of clinical experience helping people to overcome and manage illness. Let her help you get on the path of better health. Call today for convenient times to meet with Janet Cimarelli. Call 754-307-1655. That's 754-307-1655. And make sure to listen to Janet and Mr. Al Foreman Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on WNN. Great service, great prices, save a lot.
Join our mailing list and get advance notice of all the great events that are going to be taking place at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. Health support groups, nutrition education groups, special tasting events, special demonstration events. You will know about them all when you sign up for our emails. You won't miss a single event when you sign up today. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, SavALotNutritionCenters.com, SAVALOT, NutritionCenters.com, 754-307-1655, 754-307-1655.
Good morning, everybody. This is Al Foreman for the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. It is Wednesday. The weather here is absolutely magnificent today. Weather warmed up a little bit, a little chilly, but now it's probably up in the low 70s, which is a typical South Florida wintry day. And I am joined this morning with a very special guest, Mr. Steve Ginsberg. And we're talking about dogs, and we're talking about the relative ease in which you can go to a dog shelter and pick up a dog that you like, a breed that you like, or a size of an animal that you like, and then you wind up adopting that dog and bringing him home. But at that point, Steve, what does someone do to be able to train that dog?
Well, there are some situations, and I use that word almost strongly, because we don't know what the dog has been through. Let's say it's not a puppy. Let's just say that we have an animal that could be, well, between 9 months and 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. And you have to consider that this dog could have been abused, and we have a significant amount of animals that over the years do go through that, unfortunately, a position of abuse, whether it's mental or even physical abuse. So we have an animal, a dog that, yes, needs love and needs care, but sometimes something's going to come out. There could be issues of snapping.
Explain that.
Okay. We have A lot of people that say, well, I've had a lot of dogs in my life and I know what's going to happen, or I've experienced all these situations. There are different areas that we have to identify. It could be biting. It could be snapping. Well, it's just about getting to the person's skin. Mm-hmm. It could be mouthing. Mouthing could be gentle. Mouthing could be just grabbing your hand, grabbing your arm.
Without biting.
Without biting. Uh-huh. Now, a word that's being used too often is aggression. Dogs that are aggressive. But dogs that are aggressive have issues. And the only way to find out about the issues is to evaluate the dog. But it's not just the dog we have to evaluate. We have to evaluate the whole situation. We really have to go back and understand what happened prior to the dog snapping. What happened prior to the dog jumping? What did you do within the household? Was there someone that was knocking on the door? Were there landscapers in the area? Did a plumber come in? We have to know everything. And the owner has to tell us the whole scenario, so we can identify and really come to a conclusion by talking in length. Now, what I mean in length, sometimes an evaluation could take an hour to 2 hours because we have to learn everything about the dog.
So you're speaking now with the owner of the pet?
Yes.
And you're sitting face to face?
Yes.
Is the dog present?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm in the home of the owner. And we're just talking, and as we're conversing, I'm primarily watching the dog. I'm looking at the owner. I'm watching the dog. I'm watching what the dog does in different situations, and I might create a situation. I might test the dog for prey drive. Prey drive, prey, spelled P-R-E-Y, is an instinct of the dog chasing. So we have issues where certain dogs and certain breeds love to chase. They love to chase a ball. They love to chase toys. They love the squeaky toys, okay? And there are a lot of reasons for this. There are some dogs that don't even play with a toy. Some dogs don't even chase a ball. So depends on the age. There could be fear involved. The dog might not have a comfort zone. So when you rescue a dog from any type of a shelter, whether it be Tri-County or other shelters involved within the Tri-County area, we have to understand exactly what this dog is all about. And the owner receives, for example, from Tri-County, information about me, that I do a special evaluation at no charge. And there are all issues that I do that are discounted because I'm very involved with rescue dogs. So we have to understand what the aggression is if there is a dog that's aggressive. Aggressive can mean that the dog just doesn't leave you alone. It's very needy. And the owner doesn't understand that the dog just needs more love. The dog needs attention. Mm-hmm. But neediness can be actually started by the owner. The owner can create the neediness, which can turn into separation anxiety.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Now, there are issues with separation anxiety that's created with, and ladies, no disrespect to you, 90% of all women that have these small breeds, the toy breeds, love to carry the dogs around the house.
Rather than the dog following them and walking.
Well, that happens too because it's created by carrying. The dog will sit there and look at her, and she's going to say to herself, oh, he wants me to pick him up. Now, dogs don't talk.
Right.
Okay? So the housewife is taking that human rationale, which is, by the way, more of a mistake than not. The human rationale of what the dog wants is ridiculous. It's crazy. More people say to me, but he wanted me to do this. I said, really? Did he jump on the chair and sit and talk to you and say, hey, Ma, you want to take me to the store? And this is what happens. So we have the majority of women that actually will leave the bathroom door open. And Scruffy comes into the bathroom. Okay?
Accompany them.
Company.
Wherever they go.
Wherever they go. Okay? I let Scruffy sleep in the bed. I let Scruffy lay next to me when I'm having food. I give him a little piece of food when I'm having dinner, which is definitely a no-no. So there are different things and there are guidelines. So when an owner either adopts or buys a puppy, the training is basically set up and you have guidelines. I have a huge packet, and within that packet, one part of that packet is 3 pages with 28 bullets.
Wow.
And that's a guideline. The do's and the don'ts. And they're primarily don'ts. So when we have a pet owner that brings a dog, and I hate to use this word, but it's surrendering because, and by the way, Al, it's unfortunate that the majority of all these people that surrender a dog don't tell us the truth of why they're surrendering a dog.
All right, so you're speaking now about a pet owner who is not satisfied with their pet.
Mm-hmm.
They either can't get along with the pet or they dislike the pet,
mm-hmm.
or it becomes too much of a burden for them.
Right.
So they bring it to the shelter.
Yes.
And then at that particular point, is there an interview done with the owner and the people at the pet shelter?
Yes.
There is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And tell us what would happen then.
Unfortunately, the story could be, well, my fiance and I are no longer together. And I'm moving in with my mother. And my fiance left. He moved up north.
Okay?
So you understand that scenario. It's primarily a scenario where it's a no-win scenario for the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a no-win scenario for the couple, supposedly, that broke up.
Right.
There are a lot of reasons. But we find out, because I have been involved, and I've seen this myself, of dogs that are returned and within less than 2 or 3 days are adopted because they could be adorable. They're great-looking dogs, and they're great dogs. The problem is that the previous owner just didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And instead of calling someone, a trainer, or calling back to Tri-County to make a statement of what the issues are, okay, they just give up. They just don't want the responsibility. And there's another issue, responsibility.
Right, so if an owner is at the point where they're ready to give the pet to a shelter, if they called you and said, Steve, I'm thinking about giving my dog to a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 25-pound dog, mm-hmm. and I like the dog, but I'm having trouble adjusting my life with that life, and they're having trouble adjusting to my life. What would you recommend I do?
In other words, the individual is talking to me?
Correct. Direct to you.
Okay.
Well, you're a trainer.
Okay.
You're a person who has been interested in developing the personalities of dogs for many, many years,
mm-hmm.
helping owners get acclimated to what they have to do to make a happy life for both of them.
Exactly. I want to find out what the problem is and how consistent is the problem. Is this problem happening once in a while? Once in a while means once every other week. Is it happening every day? Mm-hmm. So we want to know how repetitious the issue is so we can actually analyze, you know, is it the problem really of the dog or is the problem really of someone within the home? It could be the dog can't be around children. It could be that the dog is just not being cared for properly. It could be that the dog really needs a thorough analysis. Take the dog to a vet. The dog really needs an exam. Dogs can tell us, by the way, a lot of dogs, Al, can take pain much better than we can because they're an animal, because animals that live in the woods or the jungle, anything happens if they get cut by a branch.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one there to stitch up that animal, okay? It heals on its own. And it's not like a child that's going to go running to mommy to take me to a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So a dog, whether it's young or starting to age, is going to have a lot of issues. And the owner has to take the responsibility that you bought me. You took me into your home. You have to take care of me. Okay? Take me to Dr. So-and-so down the street. Don't take me to the most convenient vet near your house. Take me to a vet that has a good reputation. Take me to a vet that I know I'm going to be taken care of properly. Take me to a vet that, what if something happens to me on a Sunday morning at 8 o'clock? Is the vet going to be open on Sunday morning? So these are other things that I'm very involved in doing, is working with the animal hospital or the animal clinic,
mm-hmm.
that is going to be susceptible to the location where my client is living, whether it's Lake Worth, whether it's Sunrise, no matter where the area is. There are certain vets that stay open only 5 days a week. There are vets that are open 5.5 days a week. And then you have a facility that's open 7 days a week. And you have the rare hospital that could be open 24/7.
Uh-huh.
And that's a rarity. So when you have issues with a dog, you have to take all the avenues. What if this dog is not a dog? What if it's your 2-year-old child? Wouldn't you go to a pediatrician right away?
For sure.
And a 2-year-old child doesn't have that vocabulary to tell you exactly, or what if it's only 12 months or 18 months as a child? You have to take that step. Al, I hate to say this, but one of the worst problems we have, not just in the dog industry, but through our country today, is a lack of common sense.
Well, I hear some music, so we're going to pursue that when we come back from the short intermission. I'm speaking with Mr. Steve Ginsberg, who is an expert when it comes to training dogs and giving people the ability to be able to live with their dogs in a manner that they're happy with. And most people that do have a pet always have some issues. And Steve can help those people heal those issues and have a healthy, happy life with their animal pets. And we speak about specifically dogs. So join us in a couple of minutes. We'll be right back. And I do encourage you, if you have any questions for Steve, to call 1-888-565-1470. 1-888-565-1470. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Mr. Al Foreman and his team are working very hard to stock the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center with the best supplements, the best beauty care, the best organic groceries, but the best of the best is the prices. EDLP, everyday low prices. We invite you to come and see what we're creating for you, the savvy health food shopper. Come see us at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, 3105 North State Road 7 in the PennDOT Shopping Center, 1/2 mile south of Sample Road in Margate, 754-307-1655, 754-307-1655.
Have you decided to follow a gluten-free lifestyle? So many have found living gluten-free is helpful in reducing gastrointestinal problems, allergic reactions, headaches, joint and muscle pain, and also for shedding those extra pounds. For a selection of gluten-free products at awesome prices, come shop today for your gluten-free pasta, cereals, breads, cookies, baking mixes, and more. Find them all at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, 3105 North State Road 7, Margate. 754-307-1655.
Good morning, everybody. This is Al Foreman for the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. It's a Wednesday, and I am at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center at 3105 North State Road 7 in Margate, which is in the PennDOT Plaza Shopping Center. We're at the south end at Northwest 31st Street. And feel free to stop in. We are open today till 8 o'clock. And Janet Cimarelli has the day off, so she will not be with us today. But we do have as a special guest, Mr. Steve Ginsberg. If people would like to reach Steve, you may want to call him at 954-304-2590. Again, that's 954-304-2590. And Steve is also on Facebook. Is that right, Steve? People can reach you through Facebook as well. And that address is Dog Talk with Steve. It's simple, very, very easy. Now, we're speaking about the animals and what people should be looking for when they go to a shelter and decide on a particular dog. Over the years, you've probably trained probably every variety of dog that you can probably imagine, or that you could think of. What has been your experience with some of the breeds that may be either more difficult or more easy? Oh, before we answer that, we have a caller on the line. Gladys has a question for you, Steve, pertaining to a pet. Good morning, Gladys.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing good. How are you?
Fine. My question that I have is Chihuahua. And I got him from my brother when he was 8 weeks. I knew nothing about him, so I was, like the doctor said, you know, kind of ignorant about training a dog. My thing was I really wanted a cat because I was lazy about walking. So what I did, I didn't have an internet at the time. And so what I did, I went to the pet store and I bought a book on Chihuahua because he's not mixed. The problem that I was having is that when I get ready to give him his food, he runs to it, and then he growls.
Well, is your question then, why does he growl when he runs to the food?
Yeah, now we're talking about 6 years later now. And to this day, he still does that.
Okay, Gladys, thank you for calling. We really appreciate your call. Over the 6 years, have you had another dog in the house?
No, he's my first and only dog.
Only dog. Are there any children in the house?
No, it's just me and him.
Just you and him. Okay. Chihuahua, by the way, is known as one of the toughest breeds on earth. I don't know if you're aware of this.
No, I
did. Oh, yes. They're the tiniest. But in their mind, when they look at a lodge dog, they're challenging that lodge dog immediately. There is no fear. No fear whatsoever. In fact, one of the educational books I have on dogs, which is about 600 pages, right on the front cover, is a little Chihuahua sitting, and about 2 feet in front of him is a Great Dane. And this Great Dane is about probably a little over 200 pounds. Now, the look on the Great Dane's face, and this is reality, this is a photograph, this is not a caricature. The look on the Great Dane's face is, why are you looking at me like that? And the Chihuahua's look is, what do you think you're looking at, buddy? Because the Chihuahua is tough. So Gladys, what you have is, over the years, something has happened where your little guy has a habit, and dogs are creatures of habit. Something has happened with the time that is consistent that you've created within your dog, a habit that the dog barks at the food. Now, maybe there was an issue that you didn't put the dog food down at the right time, and the dog started barking at you, saying to you, Mommy, I want my food.
He's been doing this, like, you know, ever since I've had him. I mean, like, maybe after he was a year. And when I put the food down, he runs to it, and he's like,
does he eat the food, Gladys? Does he eat the food?
Okay,
then that's what happened. You created a habit. Within that first year that you had him, you created a habit. Whatever it was, the only way that you can figure it out is to think about it and talk to relatives or friends, and that's where you're going to receive your answer.
So you don't have an answer for me. What could I start doing, though, to start correcting that?
You have to find out. You have to evaluate how it started in the very beginning. That's the only way to find out.
Gladys, I thank you very much for your call, and I hope you continue to listen, because we have a lot more information to cover.
Oh, okay. All right.
With Steve Ginsburg. Thanks for your call, Gladys.
Thank you, Gladys. Appreciate it.
So getting back to the different breeds, like you just heard Gladys talk about a Chihuahua, What are some of the other difficult breeds that, in all the years you've been training, which breeds do you feel are the most crucial ones to train?
Well, you know,
does it boil down to the consumer who owns the dog and how they're treated?
I think that's more beneficial than saying what breed is more difficult to train. I like all the breeds, Al. There are certain breeds that I honestly become very attached to. There are certain breeds I just love. I really love training. Mm-hmm. It could be certain breeds from my childhood that are great dogs to train, like the boxer. The boxer is a comedian. The boxer is a joker. The boxer is very cognitive. A lot of people claim that they can't train a boxer because the boxer just runs around. That's the breed. Very high energy. Extremely high energy. And the more high energy a dog really is, the greater their response and absorption of what you're going to discuss with the dog and train the dog. There are about 12 to 15 top dogs that are extremely cognitive, that are very alert, that are very high energy, that their focus on what they're looking at is instantaneous. Instantaneous. So you have a breed that will find a lady's pair of Prada shoes in her closet, okay,
and pick
out that $400 or $500 pair of shoes because he saw where the shoes were placed. Okay. And because of that strong smell of the leather, and what is leather? So all your listeners will know that this is why dogs love to chew on certain things, because it's leather. And leather comes from animal. So going back to that special dog, there was a retired doctor that was on 2020 or I think 60 Minutes that has a border collie that understands over 800 words.
800 words?
800 words. Now, he was interviewed on this hour show, and the network was in his home. This dog was told to get a pink rhinoceros. Dog leaves the room, comes back 45 seconds later with a pink rhinoceros. He's then told to get an orange giraffe. He's gone for 2 or 3 minutes, comes back, brings back an orange giraffe. Now, this accomplishment was made because of dedication. And this gentleman was in his early 80s, and he just gave his life, his time, to train this dog. But it proved something. It proved that when you give patience to a dog, and you're very persistent, mm-hmm. and you give the dog praise for the accomplishment that a dog is doing, that dog wants to continue because he's getting praise for it. So it all depends upon, going back to your question, which dog do I enjoy training more, or which dog I train less? I don't think there is a dog that I enjoy training less. There are certain hound breeds that rather be out there smelling the grass or smelling up a tree than listening to me. Because that dog rather be outside running around smelling than listening to me. The intelligence factor is a little different. Not saying the dog doesn't have the intelligence. It was bred for a certain reason. Bred for a certain reason. I only have greyhounds. And walking mine this morning, a scent was picked up, and this guy would not take his nose off the ground. And greyhounds are sight dogs. In other words, they're bred not for the nose, but for what they're looking at. They can see something a mile off.
Now, is that why they chase the rabbit?
Well, they'll chase anything that's moving quick. Unfortunately, what we're going through right now with greyhounds and greyhound rescue, that's one of the reasons why they changed the rabbit.
Well, if greyhounds are your favorite choice, well, before we answer the question, we have a break coming up. I want to let the listeners know we're speaking to Mr. Steve Ginsberg, a pet expert when it comes to training your dog. And if you want to get in touch with Steve, please jot this phone number down. It's 954-3... and we'll be right back.
Channa Juice is the innovative way to get the benefits of super juices in two easy-to-swallow capsules. Pomegranate benefits without the sugar. Acai, noni, koji berry magnesine, lychee in two easy-to-swallow capsules. Easy to carry with you to work, when traveling, or just too busy to juice. Antioxidants that provide immune support benefits in two capsules. Find out more at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers, 3105 North State Road 7 in Margate, a half mile south of Sample Road in the PennDOT Shopping Center. Come in and speak to our friendly and knowledgeable team.
Come to my office at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. I can evaluate your blood work to determine the beneficial activity of your supplements. For comprehensive testing information and personalized recommendations, speak with me, Janet Cimarelli, and get the guidance needed to achieve meaningful results for your personal health issues. 754-307-1655. 754-307-1655. The Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center is located at 3105 North State Road 7, 1/2 mile south of Sample Road in the Penn Dutch Shopping Center in Margate.
Well, we're back. This is Al Foreman for the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. My special guest today, Mr. Steve Ginsburg, and we're talking about pets. We're talking about specifically dogs, and we're talking about some of the conditions that dogs live under from their owners. And Steve Ginsburg is the trainer that can go ahead and make the adjustments with the owner and the dogs to live a much better life together. And I think that's the key point, because I've heard often stories, Steve, that an older person that's in their 60s, 70s, 80s does better when they have a dog as a pet. They feel better, they react better, and their whole overall outlook is better because of the pet, a more positive outlook. And in your experience as a trainer for many, many years, what have you found to be some of the key points or secrets, so to speak, as to what makes the training successful or not successful?
I think what makes the training not successful, and there are very few that really fit into that profile, Al. There are owners that just don't follow through. They don't take enough responsibility, and they just don't get it. They really don't get it.
Get it. That's a key point.
Yeah, they really don't get it. And that's, I think, before we took another break, before I threw something out at you, and this is one of the biggest problems that a lot of us are running into in our industry, but this is happening all over, is a lack of common sense. Common sense is, let's say, a priority of understanding. It's the same thing with a child. Buy a book, go online. Our technical support is so strong today with a computer, with an iPhone. Everything is there at your fingertips. Mm. So I'm not going to say it directly to the client. Don't keep on crying. Do something about it. Go online, make a telephone call, call a trainer, and let's sit and discuss what your problems are. But all your problems. If you don't tell me that your boyfriend's abusive and abusive to the dog, I'm not going to find out why your dog is abusive or aggressive to somebody else coming in the house. To understand that we can turn everything around. There's no such thing as a dog that cannot be changed. We've had this issue going back with the dog fighting scenario that we had here in South Florida some years ago. What a lot of people don't understand and probably are not aware of, that close to 50% of these fighting dogs, they were killers, okay, are now They were killing dogs. Dog fighting, they were killing other dogs, are now in the home with family, with children. So dogs can be turned around. It's understanding. It's giving the dog love. It's making the dog feel needed. And one of the key issues that I use in rectifying dogs that are, let's say, severe behavior problems is to rebuild their self-esteem. Just like a child, Al. Mm-hmm. So when we rebuild self-esteem, what are we doing to the dog? We're making the dog proud of everything it does.
It's almost like a child.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And it's just knowing through my experience, and it's a passion to see it turned around. There are many breeds that people look at that people are afraid of. And there are certain breeds, honestly, that are of the mastiff group that I won't touch, that I won't even train, because they're primarily bred for being attack dogs or really strong guard dogs. And these are
pit bull.
Pardon?
You speak about a pit bull?
Oh, no, I'm not talking about a pit bull.
Okay.
Because if you say this to some people, people are really going to argue with you. Pit bulls are really sweet dogs. It's not the dog. It's the owner.
Okay.
It's the owner that is creating the scenario, and not labeling anyone, not labeling an ethnicity, not labeling what a person looks like, because it's not our place to judge, you know, why it's happening. There are certain people that want that 150-pound dog, okay, that looks like it's going to, you know, attack a Mack truck. That's
a big dog.
That's a big dog. But it's not what I'm talking about. There are Staffordshire Terriers, which is the foundation for the American Pit Bull. And that's basically where the Pit Bull really is. And these breeds don't look like what people are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They're very sweet. They're great with children. There are certain dogs that if you go to a police station and ask the officer at the police station, what breed are you getting more complaints about that are biting? I want to shock you. It could be a Labrador Retriever.
Really?
Yes. So we have scenarios of the a profile of certain breeds that unfortunately are labeled. Okay. Yes, there are certain breeds that deserve a labeling, like the Chihuahua. Mm-hmm. The Chihuahua being a really tough dog.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. It's just the way the Chihuahua is. It's a tough. But then you look around and you look at an adorable 9-week-old beagle. Oh my God, you're going to melt. Or a little Maltese or a toy poodle.
They're affectionate dogs.
Yes. A King Charles Cavalier. Oh, they're gorgeous to look at, especially when they're poodles, but they become very handsome animals. So there are breeds that we just love looking at. The sleekness of a Borzoi, which is the Russian wolfhound. The massiveness of an Old English Mastiff.
Those are big dogs.
Those are big dogs. And in fact, my vet has one that's, his name is Goliath. And Goliath is about 180 pounds. And honestly, if Goliath is laying down in a room with a glass window, when I walk by that room, I only look at through the window on a peripheral view, because if I look at him directly, he'll want to come through the window. So there are certain breeds that you have to respect.
And that's a very good point.
That's a key word, is respect. But you want the dog to respect you. But the manner of training that I discuss with every client when I do an evaluation is we do not want the dog just to respect you, the owner. We want the dog to respect everyone that walks in your home.
Mm-hmm.
So in essence, we want the dog to respect everyone coming under your roof.
Well, then let me ask you this question. We only have a couple of minutes left, but if someone wants to train a dog to be a guard dog, or to guard the house
uh-huh.
when the people are gone,
right.
or if they're leaving their kids,
right.
teenage kids in the house,
uh-huh.
is there a way to train them both ways?
There are a lot of dogs that are going to do that automatically. Automatically, Al. There are dogs that understand that this is my territory. There are some dogs that not only guard the house, but when you walk outdoors, within a complete radius of what that dog can see, he feels that that's his territory.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it could be 25 to 30 homes. And if you're walking down the street by my house, don't you dare. Okay? You can't walk. But there are certain scenarios where you have to understand the dog and understanding how a dog reacts. This is one thing I do with children, and I'm training a dog. I want the child to understand dog's facial expressions, tail postures. Now, what does it mean when a dog is stretching out and the rear end is up in the air and the tail's going a mile a minute? The dog wants to play.
Uh-huh.
So I give a special packet to children, and I teach children not about your dog, but when you're walking your dog after it's trained and I have an 8 or 9 year old child that can walk a 50 or 60 pound dog because the dog is obedient. I want that child to understand the posture of a dog walking down the street.
So in essence, when you go in to train a dog,
yeah,
you're training the family.
I'm training everyone in the room. Right,
which is a great idea. Yeah. No question about it.
Yeah.
Well, see, we're coming up to the end of the show. I want to let our listeners know if they would like to reach you, you have a number, 954-304-2590. That's 954-304-2590. And you're on Facebook at Dog Talk with Steve. And I know you're going to be here for about an hour after we get off the air. And we're looking forward to seeing you here again. And because one subject I want to talk to you next time is the subject of service dogs. With that, thank you very much, Steve. Have a great day, and thank everybody for listening. This is Al Foreman for the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour, and tomorrow morning we'll be back at 10 o'clock with Janet Cimarelli. Thank you kindly for listening. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman, and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. Remember to tune in every weekday at 10 a.m. and find out more about EDLP, the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.